Hello and welcome to Matt's Trucking Great Podcast. Matt Ireland hosting once again, and today I'm delighted to be joined by my good friend Steve Elsie. Steve, how the devil are you?
All the better for talking to you.
Well, that's very kind of you to say that. So, Steve, we're going to have a little look back at your wonderful career in the world of transport. So how did you get started as a truck driver? What was there, a family inspiration, or was it something different?
No, absolutely nothing like that. I used to hang around with a bunch of ne'er-do-wells. It wasn't really a commune. It was a bunch of Herberts hanging around in somebody's house, and it transpired that the guy who actually owned the house, who disappeared every so often, was delivering boats for Shetland boats at Stanton.
Okay.
In an old Ford D800 old car transporter around Europe, mainly Denmark. And with new backloads. And it was that's how I got into it. I thought, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So did you accompany him, or?
I don't know. I think I was probably the worst mechanic in Norfolk, Suffolk and East Anglia at the time. I knew exactly how to do things, but I was incapable of doing it very well.
Right.
But I managed to sleep. I mean, basically, as I have all my life, I'm making people laugh and getting on with people.
Yeah.
And I was doing nothing. I'm just getting drunk and what, as you do as a young man. And it just seemed like it's something. And I quite like the idea of being away from the area. You know what I mean?
You get
a bit too same-o. So that's right. That's right. No great desire or lust after lorries or anything else, and no desire to talk about eating gearboxes and more fuller road ranges, and I just want to get away from it. But I went to Bangor for a bit.
Yeah, fair enough. So you went and did your test?
Yeah, I did. I borrowed the money to, because I never had any money then, and I paid the people back, did me test, and then couldn't get a job because, I look like now, but then I didn't have much of a beard, but I had hair like, fairly, very long hair,
yeah,
beard, dressed in jeans and wheelbarrow jacket constantly.
Yep.
And I thought, how difficult to get a job. And when I did get a job, the bloke who employed me would have employed me if I didn't start naked. And I'd go, yay.
So where was your first driving job then?
I got Western farm equipment.
Yes.
And so I tram. And it's a lot different to what it is now. I mean, it's very much a farm-based thing. And Richard, I like Richard. He was a bit of an animal.
Yeah.
And I'm rude about anything. No, I enjoyed working there. But the succession of not the best vehicles, like I said, the Thomas stroke followed by a TK Bedford, which in those days I could sleep on the back parcel shelf.
Yeah.
And they are very, long enough ago, a laissez-faire attitude towards driver's hours, because I'd work in the yard all day. Mechanicking, confessing my abilities and doing a bit of welding, and then going to deliver farm machinery at night. So it paid well.
Right, okay.
But eventually I just got, I don't know what it was, I just get, in a word, it all sounds stupid, it was too easy. You know what
right.
I mean?
Wasn't challenging.
No, and then plus the fact, the breed that I go into, I needed to stay away from the Framlingham area, and particularly an area not far away from Framlingham to escape
right.
the attention.
Fair enough.
It's a long, long while ago.
Yeah.
I knew some boots from the motorbike club.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a driver. And so I went off with the two brothers. I'm not going to mention a lot of names because I might not be complimentary at times. And I work for them, and they've just Scania 80s. They had two Scania 80s and F86.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in those days, you know, this is pre-attack of it, logbook time. And I was doing so many miles. They bought me a 298
right.
At the time, felt like the thing I rode in that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Difference in earnings I can make with that. You know, what used to knock an hour off a journey time most places. And
yeah.
And you remember the old overdrive light used to come on when you flipped the overdrive on, that red light. It made you sort of look a bit like the devil, because you switch in and drive about 75 mile an hour. And nowadays, trucks have got far more horsepower, but they're different horsepower.
Yeah.
They're all about lugging now and going along 1,000 revs, aren't they, for economy?
That's it.
Whereas older trucks, I think with her, I'd put an older, like 141 or 142, up against any of this modern stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfair, because I've only driven one modern lorry, and and I just found it a bit cynical.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of work was that doing then, just general haulage?
This is what led me on to work for Trans Family then, because I work doing general, the fridge work, and then what I cannot stand is being about, and like, you get the Felix dough, you've done a long day's work, and then you go at 4 or 5 hours, try to get a box on and a box off, box off and a box on, and then say, so on the tilts, and that was just about, you ended up with these piles of junk that shouldn't be allowed on the road. I'm going back hospitalized by one of them.
Yeah.
As well, I pulled the cord out, and of course the side doors, the catches are all broken. As I pulled the cord out, the door swung down and fell me.
Oh, that's not good.
God, in Leicester. Anyway, and so I did that, and then I just got so fed up with not the work was easy. If you don't drive, and driving's easy, isn't it?
Yes, it's
dealing with Sam Herbert at the other end who doesn't give.
Yeah.
About anything or you or the time and the fact. And this is what I mean, the opportunity. So I got friendly with Sandy, who used to go on Trans Am.
Yeah.
And she still is a mate, a very good mate to this day. And I thought, well, why not? And I the same thing applied in my complicated life. I thought it'd be good for me to get away for a few months. So this is why I went up.
Yeah.
79. Like late summer 79, I went off. I started with them.
Right. Okay. So, how many drivers did they have at the time when you started them? Because they were quite a new company then, weren't they?
Yeah, there were three or four. There was Ted Warnes, the first two. He used to run he was an owner driver for years, Ted. But I think he works for some gravels occasionally still now, but he used to run a pub at St. James.
Yeah.
And then there was me. Jim Barnard's did a bit as well.
Yeah.
And so Sandy was driving a bit, and Mark, God help us, was driving a bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Ned Retz, I know we had ECL Treble 70, kind of. We had three or four Volvos.
Yeah.
Well, I bought the dreadful DAF.
The 2800.
Well, it wasn't just the 2800. It was a Holland spec. The mountain 200 miles away and immediately start to slow down.
Yeah.
I found that later in life there was a way around it, which was to keep the thing in the orange, not the red all the time.
Right.
Always run one gear lower than you thought you ought to be in, and the thing would fly.
Right.
But it's still, it wouldn't go up a hill, so it'd fly.
But at the time, quite a large cab to live in.
Oh, yeah, no. It's like a Harley Davidson. They looked great parked up outside a pub, but.
Yeah.
Money may have been better spent on a Honda.
Yeah. So what was your very first tour then in 79?
Camel. They were a band from Canterbury, something like that. And there was another band called Peter Frampton's Camel. This was actual Camel. And they were quasi-hippies, I suppose.
Right.
And that was like 79. And that was a bit of an eye-opener because I've been to Europe a few times, but not for a long period of time, and it was all a bit of a. And that's the main reason I did it was to actually, like I said, to get away. And that was good. It was just me, and I got myself in a muddle, and I had to get myself out of a muddle.
Yeah,
but it helps. I've never been afraid. If you don't know, I'll ask somebody.
Absolutely,
and I've never been afraid to ask somebody. I don't care that make me look stupid.
Yeah.
I've got this bit of paper, mate. What does it mean,
Yeah.
And it was interesting.
Yeah.
And I never found a firm for 3 months, which they enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I don't think I had to tell them the truth. I couldn't figure out how to work the phones. I think a lot of it was.
So were you driving one of their Volvos, I take it, then?
Yeah, I had ECL Treble 70.
Right. F10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it was then. Mm-hmm. You know, today with the rigorous maintenance stands and blah, 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 blah. But look, I mean, pretty much everybody ignored that then. And I mean, plus the driver had to be a bit more savvy, I had a bit of, as I said, a bit of mechanical knowledge, which is a dangerous thing. But
Yeah.
You know, and these type of just a break stop, et cetera, when they need to learn. And,
yeah.
No, but that was the first job I did. And then just came back to England just for Christmas and went on ACBC for two gigs in 1979 before Christmas. And so I went on from then because I don't know, I just think it was going to last. You know, I thought it's a laugh, isn't it? And I'll do it.
Yeah.
And just kept rolling along. And like I said, if you get on with people,
yes,
part of the battle, if you're on the tour with, well, you know what it's like. I mean, you and then later, well, I don't have gun, but you know, later on, when you're a lead driver on a massive tour, it's more like being an agony aunt.
Yeah.
You know, to stop, look at me in a funny way, sir, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll take it that was the first time you'd actually driven in Europe, as well, then, was it?
Yeah, I'd been to Holland, Belgium, Holland, if you count Ireland.
Yeah.
My roly ground eye that's completely lost looking for the wrong. Oh, yeah, it's funny now, but I tipped at this quarry and I got the address. I can't long be honest, it's a Christ, a long trip the idea ago. And but I went to the wrong county.
Right.
I went to this looking little grey Fergie and said, "Where's this?" And he said, "Ah, it's about 90 miles over that."
Ah.
Fair enough. Anyway, yeah. But I think that was something to do with Fred Archer as well, that job.
Oh, really? Yeah, Fred's still about.
Yeah. I think he probably still owes the people the money for that job as well, Tom.
Quite possibly, yes.
It was a long while ago.
Absolutely. But like you say, you really do need some people skills to be getting on with a lot of jobs, really.
It's like people, I mean, it's not lorry drive. It's not truck driving. You're not going back and forth to Manchester or Milan all the time.
Yeah.
But you have to do, like when we, long, you know, before the borders are all open, we used to clear ourselves at every border. You know, we didn't use agents unless you've gone to really weird places.
Yeah.
And do it yourself. So it gives you you've got to have a bit of front about you to deal with things. That, you know, in the glorious days when we used to give them CDs and T-shirts to grease the palms.
Yes.
But it never happened. It did happen. Yeah. I mean, try to pretend things weren't like that is nonsense. I mean, it's not, I don't believe in sugarcoating things. I mean, I was saying that the guy called Fingers.
Oh, in Italy.
Yeah.
On Montanese.
When I first met him, no, I was at Fray Juice, I think.
Right.
I think. And I never saw his face, I saw his fingers. The company bought the man for 10,000 lira.
Yeah.
But you remember Montanese, I used to love going over there.
Yeah.
It was the summertime. You got, even though it's in the summertime, there's no mozzies up there.
No, it's nice and cool and just so beautiful. I mean, I can't imagine driving a truck and trailer up and down them switchbacks, especially with them coming the other way as well.
And you had to judge it as well. We were doing ACDC in 84 and we parked up the top for 3 days because the very reason.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. And I had an old 141 with a full of the PA on, but they'll, you know, scan you to lose. So the more weight you put on them, the better they went.
Seemed
to me. You had to judge your approach to the hairpin by keeping the weather eye out, who's coming the other way. And occasionally, if you're, going uphill, they meant to give you room if you're going uphill rather. But, in Italy, things like don't work like that.
No. No, not usually.
But I mean, it was. That was later on when Trans Am, a succession of bizarre old lorries. There was a firm called Podmores from Thetford. This is where this lorry came from originally.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a good job because they used to supply medical stuff, which weighed very little. So you pick up a tittle and have 3 tonne in it. You know,
right.
Brilliant.
Excellent. Was that just around the UK for them, was it, or...?
Yeah, it was. And I had a glorious week up in Warrington or somewhere when they moved warehouses. So
right.
I went up there as a load and I spent the week doubling backwards and forwards, which enabled me to get into trouble again. Well, we're going on to that. Yeah, but I mean, when I worked, like I said, these two brothers I worked for, sorry to go back a bit, I mean, I just remember one day when they bought me that old Volvo, I had to, from Ipswich, and I had to take a ladder that, you know, a grain silo, a security ladder, you know, if you're climbing up a tower,
yeah,
as a ladder. And they were having an inspection, and the ladder weren't there, they were going to fail. So I went down and threw it in the back of my fridge.
Right.
So I took the ladder up somewhere up near Middlesbrough on the coast. There's a little guy there, of course, nobody's there. So I had the wit to drag the thing home, cut my delivery note in the end of it. Went off to McCain's Chips and put the truck on the bay. And they said, yeah, we'll load you for a night, and went to bed. And got knocked out about 3 hours later. And they said, we've had a load rejected in Watford, you know.
Oh.
And of course, blog from out of the window. Yeah, cool. And you get there, yeah, if you get there by 6 o'clock tonight, that's a bloke will give you a £20 note, which is, at the time was like a fifth of my week's wages, I suppose.
Crikey.
An old 290. I mean, I know it's just, I wasn't on the outside lane, but I was doing a lot. And that old Volvo would do not 80 odd mile an hour, no problem. So
yeah,
I got that off. And that, right, that's it. And then I rang up and they said, oh, go to Tritton Salverson, Milton Keynes or somewhere, and pick a load up for Lowestoft.
Right.
And I went there and I went to the now boy, said, I'm loading in the morning. Oh, we'll load you now. And of course, it's the lorry driver thing. He takes in, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got three and 2.5 hours, pretty hard to Lowestoft. So
yeah.
That day, Ipswich.
Yeah.
It was the middle of wherever, I can't remember. Then we came in for Scarborough.
Yeah.
Scarborough and Watford. Watford, Milton Keynes. Milton Keynes to Lowestoft.
It's not a bad day.
When I got the last one, that's enough. When I got the last, they wouldn't tip me anyway.
Yeah.
But the thing was, when I worked for them, I was on a basic wage. But once the truck had made 400 quid a week, I was on a percentage.
Right.
That week, I was on percentage by Monday night.
Flipping egg, yeah.
That's the wig looked very nice on there.
Yeah.
That was then.
Yes, but it yeah, paying percentage does give people the incentive to...
Well, it does make you work yourself. I don't object to that. I mean, there's enough people sitting in... I couldn't do it now. The idea of going into one of those regional distribution centres and handing me keys in and sitting in a little...
Oh, yeah. Box. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't drive trucks. I wouldn't do it.
No, I don't blame it. It's pretty soul-destroying having to go into an RDC. Some are better than others, but, not for me.
I know, but I have low tolerance of people who try to bully you and stuff like that. And anyway, Nelson, I was about to say sorry that I can't tell you, so carry on.
Fair enough. So just going back to your very first tour, was it just sort of Western Europe, or did you venture into Eastern Europe as well, or...?
No, they were just west.
Just to west.
Scandinavia, mm-hmm. which is an eye-opener for me. No, we never went to Berlin, because you had still the corridors through East Germany.
So it was sort of easy as such, or easier as the first one.
Dealing with people who... other people have gone that. I mean, because we're all running on 88 car names, which is itself is a farce. If one of those cars was Acura, I've never seen one, you know. But without them, you'd move it then, because you had to clear every border.
Yeah.
The music. This is like 88 car names. It's impossible to get cleared in time.
Yeah.
To back that. But, I enjoy. The whole point is that first I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that gave me a bit of a taste for doing it, carrying on doing it, you know.
Yeah.
And plus the fact this is the glorious years before mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
So once you left, you bit of a loose cannon for the thing. That's, you know, it was fat, not fat. Thing before faxes.
Telex.
I can't remember. Telex, that's it. I mean, it's like coming back from Bulgaria, they always go to that bloody hotel in
Belgrade, the National Hotel in Belgrade.
And there was all the sign, little notes there saying, has anybody seen anybody from so-and-so transport? For God's sake, tell him to the Hobbit. And I mean, one of them ringing the book one day, I said, oh, that was from Bobby, who's still about nine. One of them from Gilders, something like that. And they had a note on the truck stop saying, if you see blah, 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 then you get him to call the office. So I rang him up. I said, I told you, man, where is he? He's in the bar. I better be calling you at night at that rate. I mean, some of the things then that we, you know, it's hard to believe we got away with them. Put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was the time and you had to stop at each and every border. And, you know, before they opened the EU up. So once you left Birmingham, you could load in London or Birmingham, drive to Russia and only do one border.
Yes. Yeah.
Which unfortunately meant there was a few people who shouldn't have been doing the job ended up doing it.
Right.
Because they never had, you know, wandering around like dazed sheep. They suddenly realized, there was up at the Russian border. What the hell do I do now? You know? And not, they were just driven like, for every other border on the way there.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting it.
So I also presume that the schedules weren't quite as hectic as what they are now, purely because with the borders having to be done, you had to have a bit more of a margin to a little bit more.
Yeah. Honest, but the tours weren't as big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for example, 1980, I did ACDC in Bordeaux, I think.
Yeah.
And we had three trucks.
And that's it.
And then 2000, which is, to be honest, when, you know, I stopped driving because I lost my license because of the health thing.
Yeah.
I was a driver on ACDC then, and we had 22 trucks.
Yeah.
PA, there was only more PA, there's a little bit more lights, but it was all video and
sale, I suppose. And
all at a chain, you know.
Yeah.
I'll explain to people how you can fill up that number of trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to explain to them because it doesn't make any sort of form of sense, really. But
yeah.
And there was the same number of people in the audience.
This episode of Match Trucking Great Podcast is kindly sponsored by Trans Am Trucking. Based in Suffolk, Trans Am are Europe's leading entertainment relocation specialists, and they're always on the lookout for new drivers. Although left-hand drive and European experience is preferred, it's not essential. What is essential is that you're good at telling a story, getting on with people, and having a laugh. The job will take you the length and breadth of Europe, and sometimes even beyond. For more information and to get your CV in, please head to www.transamtrucking.com.
But, I mean, it must have been quite a time as well, because touring was only really sort of properly kicking off then, wasn't it? And sort of developing and evolving, and the 80s was quite a time for touring music. And
well, I mean, I think the EST, I did Elton Leighton Palmer, I think, in like the mid 70s, and that was like the first like Arctics tour, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I mean, when I was before I was anything to do with the music business, I remember seeing Norwich Lads Club and seeing like the Four Faces, The Who, and somebody else all on the same bill.
Wow.
And they all went in like a transit size van.
Yeah.
All they had was their own gear. They'd mic'd up the amps, their combo amps and the drum kit.
Yeah.
And they swapped it amongst themselves. It's like a different guitar. And yeah, because I remember meeting some border, Wishbone Ash.
Right.
You know, and they were, ML were doing them, The Who's old.
Yeah.
And there was three of them. And but like you said, I mean, a big tour had core trucks, though.
Yeah.
Unless it was like a one-off sort of thing when they were going in for an installation for a month or something.
Yeah.
Because all the gear was all handball then, well, they got around and putting everything in dollies so they could get it in and out of the truck quicker.
Yeah.
And the trucks were always around the full. I was fit in those days.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, I remember Judas Priest tour. God's sake. I mean, I had to go and get a puncher repaired, and I got back. They'd given up trying to load the trailer because I was the only one who knew where everything went. And it was after that, you know, and then it's like a jigsaw puzzle, and there you go. That is the last bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they used every bit of space, obviously, because they wanted to keep the cost down. They didn't want an extra truck. And
yeah.
But, I mean, and then, you know, chronologically, after I did AC/DC, I got the Motorhead for years. They were like my band, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I had Lloyd Rose and never made a penny.
No.
The Who's after they never try to get money out of it all, and their management. with like literally getting the blood out of stone.
Yeah.
I got old. In fact, Lemmy got us paid on $1 tour.
Yeah.
Because he said, what's the matter? You got to pay for Rob's dog. I said, well, your man, Doug, who was the boss of their sort of promotional thing, he'd done a runner on us, you know, that caught a bit of money.
Right.
He then got Mick Murphy, the production manager, and got him to pay us. And he says, the only time we ever got any cash out of Motorhead, they never used spotlights.
No.
Never. And as much as I like Motorhead, the people, I couldn't stand them. But they were such nice blokes.
Yeah.
The original, I'm talking about the original ones, you know, Lemmy and Eddie and Phil.
Yeah.
You know, there was just like a laugh. You know, every day was a laugh, but then something chaotic, ridiculous would happen.
Yeah.
Normally, the crew, and it was just brilliant. And the crew ended up, you know, they're really good mates. You know, they were very solid.
Yeah.
And, we had a big scrap in Hamburg at the Mark Collar once. A load of punks got a break in, and the band and the road crew knocked Seven Bells up. Whatever
mess.
Apparently, you know, he got the Lemmy there with a mic stand and stuff like that.
Is it true that they named a song or an album after you?
No, well, not necessarily album. Like, you know, it came up was the Most People Hammersmith.
Yeah,
and I did a tour after that, and it was No Sleep Till Xmas, and I got a rented F10, and I wrote No Sleep Till Xmas on the sun visor.
Right.
And then when the truck went back, the sun visor was bought by the Inland Revenue Office in Lowestoft of their desk. the only people that actually named an album after me was good old Fish from Marillion.
Right.
He made a bootleg album, well, when he didn't have a record label, because nom de guerre was Pigpen, and he made a CD or an album called Pigpen's Birthday.
Right, okay.
It was recorded in 1990, and then Hammersmith Odeon.
Yeah.
But which I have a copy of from my sins.
Yeah. So were Marillion quite an early customer as well? Because they were pretty big.
Yeah. I mean, Martin Palmer and Barney did them quite a bit before I came along.
Yeah.
And they were good people to work for. Old Fish, he liked to drink.
Yeah.
And we'll fit in really well with them.
Yeah.
So I've got a list here. One of my daughters made me make a list once, and it's got a Camel ACD Motorhead, and then you're getting, I mean, this is really weird. I did a tour with a band called Venom.
Yeah.
But the support act were Metallica.
Wow.
Metallica's first ever, like, tour. And because they didn't have a lot of money, they slept on the bus a lot, so they have hotels.
Yeah.
And me and the bus driver, Mickey Deans, are fairly tight, and we'd be sitting down the front and doing whatever bus drivers, the lorry drivers do on Diet Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And the band were hiding up the back, and I think, quite honestly, they were terrified of us. I did actually mention this Metallica 30 years later.
Yeah.
But they're not a glimmer of recognition.
No.
God's sake, and we look at them now, because I'm old, obviously, a lot older, and I'm 74 now, but I mean, James Hetfield was spotty youth then.
Yes, you know. Yeah.
No, and to be honest, my gas of the movies, we thought, I'll never see them again. So, I did Bon Jovi when they first, before they broke B.
Yeah.
The album called Slippery When Wet that suddenly went nuclear in America, and they all became very rich overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed, but Yeah, but I mean, I did a couple of French tours, just like middle of the road French singers.
Okay.
Just me. And I really enjoyed them. Harper is on. I love working here.
Mm-hmm. So I'll take it. People like that would have just toured just around France internally, I presume. Yeah.
It's all France, apart from a couple of in the French speaking areas of Belgium.
Right.
It wasn't a music cast, but I mean, the French loved it and I liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one English track on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the two core songs from a film called Theatre Trans in Paris, who had the PA in back line, they had 2,100 daffs.
Yeah.
I had an old, have you ever heard of a book called Alex McKay?
Yeah. McKay's.
I had one of his old Left Hooker 142s.
Right, yeah.
I got the lights. And I always used to overtake them way before we got to the next venue. I mean, they can go past them in top gear, and they're running out of gears. That was good. They were annoyed. They were a nice bunch. I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
The music business expanded, and the tours started getting bigger, and the halls started getting bigger, and Trans Am got a lot bigger. But I feel like doing one track tours. Mm-hmm. A band called Chumbawamba.
Oh yeah, Chumbawamba. Yeah,
about 3 weeks with them, and that was hilarious.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I picked them up on a squat to start off with, and I'm in an Arctic. Hilarious. I loved every guest. And I must refer things like that to the really organised.
The bigger stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, the trouble is. I'm not going to be rude about it. I mean, sometimes I wonder about Americans, because the ones that are enough to have filled in a passport form, you think, well, did they get their mum to do it for them? And another sort of bloke on a massive tour. We had 30 odd trucks. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at him, I suddenly realize you're a moron. You know, I'm not going to make that. How the hell did you get your job? And I'm looking at him and I realise he's not, I can say anything. I can sit there and go tree frog, mumble, mumble, mumps. It almost doesn't make a sense to him.
Yeah.
He's just wearing stop talking. And sorry, I did tend to run on a bit.
Yeah, that's not a problem. So, it's quite an extensive list, obviously, of people you've toured with.
60 bands, I think, who were tours rather than just one-offs and things.
And that must have been a whole spectrum of music from rock to pop.
I mean, the thing is, I did The Who 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And they're a great band. They're a great band.
Yeah.
I mean, there are two ways about it. David Bowie, if anybody asks me who's the best, most personable, friendliest, David Bowie.
Yeah,
top of the tree.
Excellent. Well, I always found that was Sting. He was
very friendly. I did a Sting.
Yeah,
Sting tours, and I'm just looking through this list. I mean, this is some of them. There's a band called Spider. I knew we were in trouble, and they offered us a fiver to do the spotlights. We never got paid.
Right. I'm pretty sure there's a guy called Brian Burrows in Spider who went on to be a Volkswagen racer. I'm sure that's the band he was in.
They had an beat up old double decker bus.
Yeah.
And then turn it off because of the heating thing.
Mm-hmm.
And me and, you know Noddy, don't you?
Yeah.
Noddy's
older.
And I think Noddy was doing, anyway, we're in Hammersmith Odeon. And they parked their bus around there, and of course the soons are filling up. I mean, complaining. And Noddy and I come back from the pub, as you do, and with some fish and chips, and we're sitting there eating these fish and chips, and realise they're just staring at our fish and chips. I said to them, I said, when's the last time you lot ate 3 days ago? I shot back the chippy and got a little of fish and chips for them. And I said, oh, brilliant, and you'll do all our tours from now on. I said, in that case, I'm going we did the old speedway with him. I did that as my last thing with him. We got there at 8 o'clock in the morning. We got offered tea, burger, and tips by the owner of the speedway. From But I mean, this is sort of some great. I mean, there's awkward, horrible people that are great musicians, like Prince. I mean, they're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
That was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Very odd.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, then, we used to pull sorts of strokes to help the firm out, and we never got a penny out of them. I just remembered, you've been on the ferry from Putgarden to Robbie Harbour, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Many a time. So
in the early days, if you said your load was under 5,000 kilos, you paid half price.
Right.
Tell everybody. Tell them you're under, you know, or three. Oh, it's just, you know, lights, you know, bits of framework.
Yeah.
And so, and they never used to put us over the library. So we were different prints. We're going up north from then. I told them, just saying that because they'll save. I mean, it didn't matter anything. I never saved the firm a fortune, 20 odd truck.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a train goes down the middle on the boat, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
And because we're so light, they put us more on one side because it was complete bollocks. And they dumped the ballast. We pulled off the dock and the boat saw you went, took a shot on one side. You know, no, no danger, nothing else. But when we got the other side, I got met by a very stern-faced man. He said, Trans Am Trucking, Weybridge, every time.
Dan.
The bloody Weybridge, didn't they? And of course, and they got 20 odd trucks, so it said we're under 5 tons. So, what's that? 20 times for 100 tons. It's more like 350, of course, the real weight. So, we did it for a laugh. How just, you know, you're getting one over on the man in the uniform. Sort of.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It also must have been quite a change when Europe opened up and all the borders went away.
Oh, I can't believe it. I mean, places where you spend hours, literally hours queuing.
Yeah.
You're going, no, you're slowing down to 60 please if you feel like it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, steaming through. And we were talking about, let's do the corridors.
Yeah.
For Eastern. Because there was one from Hamburg, one from Hanover, and one from Hof, from Munich.
Yeah.
Then we were doing the Bob Dylan. We pulled up at the board, up to the border, and it was Berlin's 750th anniversary, and the East Germans wanted to, you know, put one over on the West Germans.
Yeah.
So they put us in, and Tom Pei, who was took down the support, and Roger McGuinn from the Birds. So we were doing them in Munich. And we got to the, you know, just normal again. There was a bloke there from East Berlin, head of police, and he was obviously very important, the amount of gold hanging off his shoulders and that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, you must wait. I said, no, we're going. He said, no, 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 you go in convoy with me. Oh, don't want grumble, mumble, mumble.
Yeah.
And we all had to wait. And then he got us all together and he said, how fast can your trucks go? No, you're not catching us. Oh, that, mate, 80 kilometres. No, how fast can you go? The general, I'll go at the back because I've got the 142 then. I'll go at the back and... let's say 110, because we can run 110.
Yeah.
And he goes, good. My pursuit larder won't go much faster. He got in front with his mate with the lollipops out the window, and we're in the fast lane to East Berlin.
Flipping out.
And there's four of us left that border at Hof. By the time we got to East Berlin, there was 12 of us. Every truck we flung on the back of And when we went to leave the next day, I thank Mike Lennon for this. We were saying thank you to the bloke. And then, well, it's a pity we can't do the same speed when we go to Hanover.
Yeah.
And he said, he gave us a bit of paper.
Yeah.
Which we could speed while in the DDR. And unfortunately, when we got to the West German thing, they took one look at this and took them off us. They wouldn't let us give them. They'd obviously told the police, because otherwise you'd get nicked there if you pulled into the lay-by without your light on.
Yeah.
Or you piled up on the light on. We had all sailed through there, you know, anything after 120 clicks.
Yeah.
And when we came to the other side, I wished I'd had some way of photocopying it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I got in my memory from it, man. And the fact that it was true and it was happening. Like unbelievable.
What was the actual east west like German border like? Was it quite ominous or
yes? No, it was because it was so busy, you know, because everything truck had to go through it, sort of thing. And yeah. It was just a little nonsense. I mean, the first time I went, I was going from Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a queue. This was to get into West Berlin. And because all you had to do is, you didn't have any paperwork. They want 5 Deutschmarks off you if you had a CB. So we used to take the CB out. Avoid pain, and if you had a gun or anything, they want 5 Deutsch and anyone. But the case is, they would have a route around in the back.
Yeah.
And normally, when you're a route, make sure you went and picked somebody up or sort of.
Yeah.
And we were. Oh, I can't remember. That's so long ago. Anyway, the I was queuing up to get in the West Berlin, and there's just me and a lot of old, God knows what. So you know their truck that they had then, the new. No East German company had Volvos and things like that. And these sirens go off and lots of noises and then 2 enormous explosions. And I had to look around, all the locals were getting out of their lorries and crawling underneath them. And I thought, oh, please. Thank God they weren't made to then, because I got out and got under the back, you know, but behind the back wheels, around and get. And because what had happened is some poor sort of tried to get out and they got these explosive bolts that they blew and that sent big concrete blocks across the road.
Right.
So you couldn't ram a car through or even a lorry through it.
Got you.
And the machine gun noises, they're all on automatic and they're on literally behind them. They're doing arcs and fire across the valley.
Yeah.
And so if anybody's down there, they've got to get shot.
Yeah.
And they're a bit, But it's like dreamlike quality, so you couldn't really believe what's going on. And after about 10 minutes, these blocks got hauled back and the locals got back in their cab. Oh, well, it must be a regular thing here. But then you watch all the soldiers being knocked, and it was freezing. It's like it used to be like a hoarfrost.
Yeah.
And all these old boys dressed in what looked like animal feed sacks carrying horrible trouble from up to. And there was... I've got no idea how many of them. It wasn't intimidating. It just suddenly started to realise that maybe the Russian bear wasn't something to be feared after all.
Yeah.
You know? Well, certainly then, anyway.
Yeah.
And there was the borders with those things. Like, it was just annoying. They were an annoyance.
Right.
Because you didn't have to do any paperwork. You got a nice little... I've still got my old passports, but you got a nice little stamp with a picture of a lorry in it.
Yeah.
Druitz was one. And there was a place, the Hanover, the last West German service that did the most wonderful currywurst sausages.
Yeah.
In fact, God help me, I've gone out of my way. But it's your miles one. They can't get the diesel money back off me anymore. And go to this place to get the sausages.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the people I worked for were the music was interesting, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah.
The Banshees, I used to quite like them because they have a liveliness.
Yeah.
Chair I loathed because it was just such a crap show. James Larson was such a... I think it's James Larson, East Berlin, when there was still East Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
For a while. What a brilliant bloke.
Yeah.
Because his real name is Hans. And I was in the truck in Hamburg, and Lewis, this woman, watching me and another Swiss bloke were in the truck on our own. And I went, unbelievably, for people who know me really well, I went for a shower, which was most clear. Even the man's story, vaguely unbelievable, was a shower. Anyway, then she said, "You come and eat, we're on the meal before we go in." So we went in. And he said, "Can you sign this?" And he gave me 300 Deutschmarks. I said, "What's that for?" She said, "Oh, it's from Hans. He wants you to load the truck." Says James Larson, "Did you work too hard? And he wants you to have a drink."
Oh.
Well, 100 quid.
Yeah.
And we got to this thing, and he was such a nice bloke. He spoke perfect English.
Yeah.
He'd go around everybody in turn and say why they were there and what they were doing. And it was my turn. And he said, "Steve, I've got 500 gold discs. I've got more money than I never spent in 3 lifetimes. So are my children. I like to enjoy myself. And halfway through the show, at Lindable, thank God, I was doing a spa.
Yeah.
And he turned out you had to drink vodka shots in the interval. He said it'll make the second half a lot more enjoyable. And then, so every night to a bar.
Yeah.
And the last day, he took us on all these canals around East Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading a book called Holiday in Hell by PJ O'Rourke, and I'm sitting in the back. And there's an umpire band at the front, which is going there, roasting a pig. This old girl came along and said, do you want beer? And I said, yeah. She said, what, a big beer? Yeah, a big beer. She said, well, Stein, you know, a liter. Yeah, why not? You want a chaser? Well, yeah. He's got any nice brandy. He comes back, leaves with a Stein, and leaves me a bottle of Romy Matan and leaves it with me.
God.
I don't remember much about that day after that.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, he was just a really, really nice bloke.
Yeah.
And the music, I don't know how many wrists slip, but. But it's, you know, it pays the bills. You know, a lot of the time you come across bands that you wouldn't normally listen to,
mm-hmm.
and yet they turn out to be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Was there ever a band that you would love to have toured with but never got the opportunity to?
I don't think so. I mean, that's a difficult one. That, you know what it's like, because it's all been tribal. At such and such production manager like to use so and so.
Yeah,
I mean, I was lucky because I knew Jake Berry from fairly on in my career, and I always got on well with Jake.
Yeah,
I ended up doing like the Stones with him, and the Metallica and Tina Turner and stuff.
Yeah,
but no, there was a couple of bands. I mean, I'm not a Queen fan, but they did such a good show.
Yes,
I mean, all the great bands had great frontmen.
Absolutely,
all the great. I mean, I did. Bon Scott,
mm-hmm.
and that's also against Brian Johnson at all, but he's not the front man that Bon Scott was.
Right.
Bon Scott was the real deal.
Yeah.
As was Lemmy. I didn't say I didn't like the middle as well, but Lemmy was a proper rock star because he didn't give a poor to that money. He spent every penny he made. He lived in a rented house.
Yeah.
You know, and but he just lived the lifestyle. He won't pretend one, you know.
Yeah, he really did.
And he was torn getting drunk with him a couple of few times and him taking all my money with me at poker, but that is another story. because he knew all these people, and he said, these Stones, he said, they're all art school boys. He said, they came with scrap. The Beatles would have knocked 7 bells a few out of them. He said, the Beatles were out of Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, a hard town.
Yeah.
And they've got this pretend image. I mean, they're all wandering around art school boys with albums under their arms sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he just regarded it as all crunk.
Yeah.
Right, Steve. We're going to have to put the proverbial handbrake on just for now, give the listeners a bit of a break and myself for a little comfort stop. We hope that you join us for part 2 of my chat with Steve Elsie. Thanks a lot.